You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the first time I saw that trailer, I knew that we were going to be treated to something really, really special. And I'm glad that it lived up to every second of deranged nonsense. You'll never see anything else like it.
I mean, it's demonic, isn't it? It's insane.
CGI artists said that they had 6 months to work on the trailer and 4 months to finish the film.
And one of the designers working on the film said there was a cut, a fabled cut, where they had CGI bumholes on the cats. Don't know how true that is, but I'd like to think that it is in a vault at Universal somewhere, never to be released. Whatever his next film is, though, it'll get to say, from the director of Cats.
Yes. Welcome, everyone, to Flicks Watcher Podcast. I'm Kobe. Today I'm joined by Helen.
Meow.
Oh, good Lord. Josh.
Hello.
And Sam.
Hi.
And we're going to be talking about Cats.
Thank you, as always, to the Mighty People for the mighty, mighty tunes. And thanks to Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills.
Please do remember to write a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts, anywhere you can do where you listen to the podcast, because it really does help us.
And you can join in the conversation with us on Twitter
at FlixWatcherPod. And on Instagram
at FlixWatcher.
Hello, film fans. Welcome to FlixWatcher Podcast. Joining us remotely today, we have Sam and Josh. If you could please say hello to our listeners and tell them a little bit more about who you are and what you do, please.
Hi, I'm Sam Clements, host of the 90 Minutes or Less Film Fest podcast, a podcast that celebrates films under 90 minutes long. And occasionally, I'm let out of the under 90 minute film cage to talk about over 90 minute long films, which we'll be doing today. And I'm very pleased to be doing so.
Also, Sam, the Holiday Season podcast, you might want to say a little bit about that as well.
I also host a podcast all about Nancy Myers' Christmas film, beloved Christmas film, The Holiday. And we just release a couple of episodes a year. It's a very slow rollout. We're on episode 3 years in, on episode 7. But it's a very detailed look. We are going through The Holiday with a fine tooth comb. And recently our investigations paid off when Jude Law joined the show and gave us a very like candid chat about working on the film. And Nancy Myers, the film's writer and director, also joined us. But didn't join us on mic. She would only send answers via email. So that was amusing in an audio format. But brilliant, yeah. You know, it's exactly what I wanted from Nancy, and she was very generous to do that.
It's one of those things where you think it's actually going to take you more time to write the answer than to speak it. So you kind of think, just give me 20 minutes, answer the thing, and then you don't have to think about it. But that's what she wanted to do.
It's taken us 3 years to kind of get hold of Nancy, so we were a bit like, don't want to ruin this opportunity. And it was really nice she replied to us. But when she did say that, I was like, just record a voice memo, mate. Just read my questions, record a voice. You can text it over. We'll pop that voice memo in the pod. But I mean, she is an award-winning and very famous writer. So, you know, I've got an original piece of Nancy Myers writing in my inbox, which is a thrill.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I should say, Sam has been on a few times on FlixWatcher, and the first time he came on was to bring on The Holiday, which is my first viewing of it. So
very on brand.
Who are you, Josh?
Hello. I'm Josh. I'm the co-host of the Truly Happily Madison podcast, a podcast dedicated to going through Adam Sandler's production company's filmography, Happy Madison, all the films that he's ever produced. For better or worse, we finished our initial run, myself and my co-host Jack Gregson. However, there's another film coming out at the end of the month, I think, so we should be back for that.
Why are you doing this to yourself?
I mean, it will become
was
clear.
It a good one of those things that seemed like a good idea at the time?
It seemed like a great idea when the first lockdown happened and you go, oh, well, what else are we going to do with an evening a week? And then you realise there's 50 films.
Or is it that many?
Well, it was like 47, 48 or something. It took us an entire year to go through them with a couple of special episodes, and it was grueling by the end. But yeah, no, I mean, great experience.
Rather you than me, I've seen a handful of Adam Sandler Happy Madison films, and his best films tend not to be under the Happy Madison banner. They tend to be done by other people, and he's a part of them. So
would agree. Although a lot of love for The Week Of on our podcast and in my brain. So strong recommend.
There is a podcast called The Worst Idea of All Time, which
I love them. Yeah. I love them so much.
Wait, is it Sex and the City 2 they were going through? I had to stop because I just couldn't deal with it anymore, but it was insanity.
They did Sex and the City 2. They did another top Happy Madison production, Grown Ups 2. Which,
oh, really?
we on the pod absolutely love and have a high appreciation for it. And I think around the time that this came out, they did a little mini-series on today's film, where they went and saw it in the cinema every day for a week. So, it's a proud tradition that we join, I feel, today and in Bad Idea Podcast.
Well, we're here talking about other potentially bad ideas. We're talking about Cats, which is your choice, Josh.
Yeah.
So can you tell us, first of all, why you chose Cats? And then I'll bring a countdown timer up and you've got 60 seconds to explain the synopsis. It might take a second. It might take years, ideally. But tell us why you chose it, first of all.
I like to think that it chose me. And by it, I mean Petros.
That's true.
Host of the Caged in Coppola Connections podcast, who nominated me when I saw, that you two were talking about maybe doing an episode on Cats as it was new on service. And yeah, I mean, this is one of my favorite films of all time. That might not be true. We'll see. This was my fifth viewing of it, and it never gets old. Again, a lie. We'll get into it later. But it's phenomenal. From the first time I saw that trailer, I knew that we were going to be treated to something really, really special. And I'm glad that it lived up to every second of deranged nonsense. Yeah. It's just, you'll never see anything else like it.
And synopsis timer starts now.
A young cat, Victoria, is dropped in the middle of London and instantly gets inducted into a cult of Jellicle cats, who just so happen to be competing to be reborn into another Jellicle life by their Jellicle leader, Old Deuteronomy. To earn their death, each nominated cat must sing a song explaining their name and what kind of cat they are. However, Nasty Cat McCavity, the Napoleon of crime himself, decides to kidnap all the potential Jellicle choices in an attempt to guarantee his passage to the Heaviside Lair. Welcome to Tom Hooper's Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats.
I mean, fair play. Now what's going on in the film.
Okay. There's also no plot. That's a simple solution. But, you know.
I mean, Simon, you're. I know you and Simon Renshaw, also former guest on this podcast. You guys seem to like it, but I don't know if you're poking fun of it or you actually like it. So let us actually know where do you fall.
I think the sort of, you know, you are so bad it's good, or you love it to hate it, that sort of stuff. I feel like that's just part of film culture, and there's no shame. Some of my favorite movies are films that I sort of hate watch along or sort of see the funny side too. I think with Cats, genuinely curious, because that trailer that launched maybe a year before the film came out was so intriguing. And like when they announced they were doing this film, everybody was like, well, how are they gonna make the cats? Will it be people in leotards like it is on stage? And I don't know if you remember, there was alongside the trailer, and maybe even before the trailer, because they really didn't want us to see the cats, they released a feature where Tom Hooper talked about digital fur technology. And ever since that soundbite, I was so intrigued to see the film. So I don't know. I feel like this film is like the end of a very like intriguing sort of journey in terms of like film news. And I was lucky enough to go to the first and only press screening of this film, which was wild night. It was the original cut before, I'm sure we'll get into the later version of the movie. And yeah, it was everything I wanted. And then I watched it three times at the cinema that Christmas because I kept wanting to take people to it. Like, you won't believe it, guys. They've done Cats. It's a movie. We can go. Yeah, and when lockdown happened and we were all feeling a bit glum, I put Cats on a couple of times. I think this was my sixth or seventh watch, maybe, for the pod. I've watched this film way too many times. Also, I don't think it's very good, but I love watching it.
I mean, I think there's just other films. When you're saying six or seven times for a film that categorically isn't good, having said, I've watched The Room four times, maybe, and that's ostensibly a poor film, but a couple of times I saw it was at the Prince Charles Cinema, in which case that is an event that happens, and you should, if you like The Room and enjoy it for its nonsense, then watch it with other people at the Prince Charles Cinema and it'll be the best night of your life. So the version you saw is probably the bumhole edit.
Apparently the bumholes never got released, so there was this I mean, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen Cats, please, it's on Netflix, pause the podcast and go and watch Cats. But they're quite like, it's a weird design. They're humanoid cats. They sort of look like cats, but they kind of have the anatomical structure of people. They don't really have, they're not like cat proportions. And anyone who owns or sees a cat knows that it loves to show you its butthole. That's a favorite thing cats like to do. And, you know, the camera's everywhere in this movie. It's roving around. So there was sort of a lot of comments like, it's kind of weird. The cats don't have buttholes. And one of the designers working on the film said there was a fabled cut where they had CGI bumholes on the cats. Don't know how true that is, but I'd like to think that it is in a vault at Universal somewhere, never to be released.
Rated 18.
Yeah. Because they're basically naked for the film, but some do wear clothes. Very odd.
Yeah. Well, it says some wear clothes, but
some have shoes on.
Yes.
They have shoes on, sometimes high heels, sometimes Converse, sometimes bits that maybe weren't finished. And they all have human hands. And sometimes they wear fur that they can unzip.
That's what I mean. That's the bit that confuses me, is the clothes. Is it skin clothes or is it, because like McCavity's got a fur coat, fine. Mr. Mistopheles has a hat and he's got his waistcoat. But then
are the fur coats Jenny made Anybots, of cats though?
Jenny Anybots has what she looks like is her normal skin, and then she peels it off to have like a weird waistcoat underneath, and you're like, which is your real skin? Helen, you're a big fan of cats. You go by the name of Helen Cat Film Fan. How many times have you seen Cats in disguise, and were you happy about it?
I've only seen it once. I don't know whether the opportunity arose for me to go and see it at the cinema. I think maybe.
So you did see it in the cinema?
I didn't know.
I've only seen it once for this
special moment when it came on Netflix and you answered the call, Josh, to bring it. I knew it would be a special moment that it was waiting for me. I mean, it's demonic, isn't it? It's insane. You think you go into it thinking, I've seen the trailer. It can't be that bad. It can't be that weird. But no. And there's also weird bits because it's a sung through musical, so there's no kind of explanation about anything at all. So it is just, you're straight in with the singing cats. And it kind of feels a little bit like they ran out of time to finish a lot of it, because the first couple of songs are quite jazzy and there's stuff going on and there's backgrounds, and then towards the end it's like they meant to put things in. So it starts off really surreal, and then it kind of gets a little bit weirder in that you're like, surely there shouldn't be stuff happening now. It's very strange, and some of the cats have breasts, which is a new one for me.
But no nipples.
No nipples.
Well, that was This is a rated, Universal rated film, which quite surprised me, because it is a bit horrifying and terrifying. But you know, some of the Disney films are that kind of way as well, so I can kind of get that. So if they had nipples and buttholes, I'm sure that eke into a PG. Yeah. So maybe they just did that for expanding the potential audience ultimately. But the thing I'm trying to kind of separate out is what was done for Cats as in the film, and what kind of happens in a musical as well. Because if stuff happens in a musical, why they kind of, and they dissipate away, and that's the following kind of story of the musical, then fine, that makes sense in why they're trying to bring into it. my main question with this, because I mean, it looks odd, and you know, that's a given from the first time you see the trailer through to the end. Everything's odd. The movements look odd, which is the thing that puts me off the most, is that I know people who can dance really well. I know someone who's in the chorus in this, and he's a dancer and a capoeira teacher, and he moves really well. But as they're doing the dance moves, because they've got the CGI imposed on it, it looks really jerky and horrible. And that's the thing that's the thing that puts me off more than the have weird twitchy ears and the face that gets kind of, and the face that moves around. That's really weird as well. But they've made the movements worse than humans can do by making it this way. And I almost think that it's just, as Sam said, just should put them in the cat suits, because that just makes more sense. Or
it was apparently going to be an animation until Tom Hooper got involved, which would have made more sense.
But would it though? That's what I'm saying. I think the main problem
at least
this
would have been animated cats with voices rather than
floating faces on weird frames. But I think that for me, the most problem with this is that the musical, from most people's point of view, is nonsense. Yeah. And they've made a film about a nonsense musical. Has anyone seen a musical live on stage? Or
no.
There is like a cast recording which I have on Blu-ray, which I bought off the back of watching Cats. That's the closest I've got. It was like maybe recorded in the 90s.
Right.
I don't think the show's changed much in the sort of decade preceding that, though. Yeah, I mean, it's exactly the same, apart from, you know, the leotards and the makeup are more believable than CGI cats, really. Oh, and there's no skin suit with Rebel Wilson's cat and dancing cockroaches and all of that business in her kitchen.
Well, there's a couple of new songs, didn't, because Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote new songs for this, but I don't know which ones
he
were the
wrote
new ones.
One new song, Beautiful you're Ghosts. Right. Yeah. Which?
Beautiful Ghosts was the like Oscar baity, we're going to go for original song, and it just didn't.
What's Beautiful?
Which is only played in the credits, Ghost? Isn't it?
Victoria. No, Victoria. There's one scene after Grisabella teases Memory, as is wont to do, at least four or five times throughout this film. There's a little bit where Victoria's just outside and having a little sing, and sings the song that apparently Taylor Swift and Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote in an afternoon, and it shows. It shows. It's like, it's good. It's a banger, but also it's just not up there with some of the best in this film, sadly. And you can see why it got overlooked by the Oscars.
What was your favourite song then in the film, Josh?
Oh, I was good. Yeah, that was going to be one of my talking points. Like, who is everyone's Jellicle choice? But I think it just...
What, I think, first of all, what is a Jellicle? It annoyed me, and I know...
It's a... let me see. I've got something. It's a Jellicle...
So while you're looking up, does anyone want to guess, or does anyone know how many times the word Jellicle is mentioned?
Oh,
that's a good question. It must be upwards of 50. 100.
So you're going 50?
I'm
going
to go 50.
100, is that your final answer?
No, I feel like I should stick my first choice, even though I feel like I've undersold it. But I'm going to go 50.
Josh?
I'm going to go 69, just because.
Yeah.
Kobe?
I said 328.
None of you right. It was 128, apparently.
Wow.
So you should have gone with 100.
Ah.
128. I've Googled what a Jellicle cat is. I've come up with nothing.
I tried. But yeah,
I feel like it's like just another nonsense word. Like, the film is full of nonsense, and that's just part of it. Like, I don't know, is it just a nice cat? Or is it like, it's just nonsense. You don't, I mean, I think the joy of the film is, you know, cat. It's left logic behind at the front door.
I know, yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. If I'm trying to find logic in things, and the thing I'm stuck on most is what is a Jellicle cat specifically. But then also it's like, old Deuteronomy says to Victoria at the end, you truly are a Jellicle cat. And she's like made up with that. So it's like,
I think it's that thing, nothing's if you changed. Say it with conviction, people will believe you. You know, if it's Judi Dench, you'll listen, even if she's just saying gobbledygook.
I see. I've just had an epiphany of what a Jellicle cat is, and only because I watched Matrix Resurrections the other week. I think Jellicle cats are like normal cats that you see in the world. They're in the Matrix, you know, but once they realise that they are in fact a cat, and they recognize themselves for what kind of cat they are, like, oh, they're a magical cat, they're a mischievous cat, then they gain like a sort of sentience and break outside of the Matrix and are awoken, and they become a Jellicle cat.
And that's why potentially they want to jump on the hot air balloon and go to an early weird death.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I'm quite happy with that. They can see the code.
They can see the codes.
They can see the Jellicle cold code.
They can understand. Yeah. They have
Josh, I'm happy with
insight.
That. I am very, very happy with that as cool, a as cool. a
perfect.
Some kind of semblance of nonsense that brings in.
Solved it.
So I'm dying to know who is your Jellicle cat? Who is the best cat for you?
I mean, it's Skimbleshanks.
Which one's that?
The railway cat, Skimbleshanks.
Oh. Now he's the cat the who cat. Is wearing red trousers and braces and a nice hat.
Yeah.
And he has a moustache that disappears in one shot, which is always my favourite shot. I just think, like, I completely agree with what you were saying earlier, Kobe, about the dancing, because in that scene, in the orgy scene, like where they all do the ballet, I'm just watching them being like, these are some incredible moves, but they just don't have any weight or heft to them. And they don't feel like they just don't feel natural. And there's all these amazing dancers on stage. I mean, on the screen who are just, they're going to waste basically, but Skimble, I don't know if it's the trousers. They just give, like, they give him that sense that he is a solid mass. And then he has that little tap dancing bit. I remember when I saw that in the cinema, like, it just goes through. I had a similar visceral reaction when I watched Dune, and it goes to the Sardaukar land. I hope that's not a spoiler, but there's a bit of throat singing there. And I remember that, like, punched through my soul. And so did when Skimble does this little, like, does some tap dancing that is kind of like a train. I thought that's probably, very clever of Andrew Lloyd Webber there to make something sound like something else.
They probably just thought, we can't CGI this. You do your tap dancing stuff and we will we'll film you from the waist down with the, and that's why he's got the trousers.
Yeah, exactly. I like it. That makes total sense. And I also like that all the other cats are kind of like, you know, they're a lazy cat. They're a skittish cat. They're a naughty cat, but this is just a cat that hangs out on a train. Like, it's got nothing. There's no, but it still happens to make one of the best songs in this show, I think.
Is it a giant train or a really small cat though?
Impossible to say. Science isn't right. Yeah, that kind of, like the mice in that scene and in all scenes.
They're not the right size, are they?
They're not the right size. They're like a human. It's like, anyway.
Mice versus cockroach sizes.
Well, yeah. It's wild. Like, there's no continuity there. It feels like, and it probably was made by very different teams all across the world at different VFX houses, and they all had their own rulers.
I was looking at some stuff earlier that was about, like, CGI artist said, this is, IMDb trivia. CGI artist said that they had 6 months to work on the trailer and 4 months to finish the film.
Just feel really sorry for them.
Incredible. Yeah, I feel so, so sorry for them.
I mean, the thing is, if the film was hitting the mark, you wouldn't really care. And that's why it just shows you that. And the bit with the scale for me, I was like, I can't be asked to look in. I can't be bothered, because there was a trailer breakdown of why it was nonsense, and the scale was one of the big things. But when James Corden cat, I can't remember what his name was.
Blusterfer Jones.
Yeah. It's not skin. When he was eating foods of different sizes that made no sense to him, that's when it kind of was like, just in this one song, you can make the things the right size. If he's gonna have a chicken drumstick, make it the right size. It can't be the same size as a size of steak. That makes no sense. Oh, yeah, it's that kind of nonsense. Anyway, I'm going too far down. Sam and Helen, your Jellicle choices or favourite songs.
I'm gonna jump in. I do think Josh has absolutely pulled a blinder there. Skimbleshanks, the railway cat song, is the best song in the film. That is an absolute fact.
It is.
I don't know if he's my favourite cat, but he's got a banger of a song. And on all of the questions about how big those railway sleepers are that he's dancing on and how small he is come into my brain every single time. Yeah. I think close second for me is, I just think it's Dench, isn't it? It's old Deuteronomy. She is the matriarch cat. She is the longest serving cat in Catland. And also she's wearing talking about clothes, she's wearing kind of a fur coat, which is part of her body. And yes. her wedding ring, let's not forget that.
Wedding ring, yeah. So yeah. which oh, yeah, cat is she married to?
It's, I mean, I love Dench, yeah. and I love that yeah, she question. Carries on, you know, like, 85 years old, she's going to be in Cats. Sure, why not?
It's her and Sir Ian McKellen, who have no need to be in this film whatsoever. And they're both like, yeah, fuck it. And they're not in it. I thought they were just going to be, each cat was going to be in for like 2 minutes and then sods off. But Dench and everyone who's in it's in for quite a long time, actually. Mm.
They won't let them
apart
leave.
Apart from maybe Rumpelteazer and the twin ones, Rumpelteazer and I can't remember
Mungo
the name.
Mungo Jerry.
Yeah, Mungo Jerry.
Well, yeah, it's like I kept thinking that Jason Derulo was only on set for like one day, but if you look in the background of like every shot, he's there.
He's there contributing smiling.
Something.
But maybe it was just one day and they just got him from all the different angles and they just superimposed them.
Oh, they could have done.
Yeah. Helen, what's your Jellicle song or Jellicle cat or favourite song or whatever you want to call it?
I mean, there's just a lot to choose from, isn't there? I just also wanted to say, so my cat is most like Judi Dench. I think if my cat was in this film, she would be Judi Dench's his character.
Deuteronomy.
So I think my favourite cat and my favourite performance are probably the same. So I think McCavity, because Idris is just brilliant in it. Like... I mean, one of the weird things is the way that everyone is playing this so straight, and it's just like it's another level of acting, I think. But Idris for me really becomes a cat in a way that some of the others kind of don't very much. Like Rebel Wilson is just like she just isn't bothered about becoming the cat, whereas Idris, everything about him, he's become cat. He's cat. And then it's the only song that I know memory, like the performance of Memory is very good for a song that is very average. It was quite moving.
That's the typical showstopper song that everyone talks about Cats, but again, that's the song that the one from
Elaine Page sings it, doesn't she?
Yeah, Elaine Page sings it. Woman from Pussycat Dolls, she was Grisabella. Beverly Knight, she played Grisabella, so she could sing Memory. And I think if you got, I don't know, I don't think it's that big a song. I agree with Helen. That song that McCavity sings before he tries to blackmail old Deuteronomy into making him the Jellicle choice, along with the other cat. I thought that was the best set piece because it made the most of the fact that there were CGI cats and dancing around and leading up to a staircase. I thought this actually kind of makes sense. And of course, Idris Elba is a legend, and he does a good job, I think. Yeah, so McCavity and that song are my favourites.
See, did you like how every time he teleports out, he goes, McCavity?
It's either he says McCavity or he says ineffable, which is something I think the guys on the Worst Idea of All Time podcast noticed after watching it 7 times in a week, that the word ineffable is used like 3 or 4 times in the film.
Just for no reason.
For no reason. Like, why? They hypothesized that Andrew Lloyd Webber like just saw that word in the morning of writing it.
Word of the day, toilet paper.
And I agree. Yeah, just like, oh, ineffable. Yeah, all right.
But it's like the guy in what's that film with the Dread Pirate Roberts?
Yes, yeah, the inconceivable.
Yeah, he just found a word and he's like, I need to say this word.
Yeah, exactly. It's that kind of vibe. It's
And Inigo Montoya's like, you don't know what this word means, do you? You just keep saying it. You don't know what they're saying. You're just saying this word.
I did want to ask something. Do we think this is the end for Tom Hooper? Because obviously, prior to this, he was Oscar winning and drawing in the crowds. And I mean, this is interesting that if you kind of look at his films where he was kind of a director and then he moved on to being kind of a writer and director. In this, he's writer, director and producer, which... probably should say that maybe he shouldn't have taken all of these three things on, quite possibly.
I'd be surprised because he's won 2 Oscars for 2 previous films and he's had a fair crack at this whip, which is nonsense go anyway. And I think people have failed harder and come back stronger. I'll be very surprised if this is the last we see of Tom Hooper.
I think he's a bit of a fraud. I'm not really a big Tom Hooper fan. His first film, The Damned United, is probably his best with Michael Sheen.
Damned United is a great film, yeah.
And then he did The King's Speech and Les Mis and The Danish Girl, which is a film that doesn't exist.
The Danish Girl as well.
it feels like he's kind of been lucky with scripts a little bit in that.
But I mean, if you look at Ridley Scott, for example, the amount of times people just gone, dude, what the hell are you doing? And then suddenly it's come out with a banger again. And you're just like, okay, do your thing. One in every five will be worth it, maybe.
I don't think Ridley's done Level Cats, though, has he?
What was that one? The Counselor. Was that one? I remember that. That
wasn't
thought to be like a career-ending film. But... yeah.
Tom Hooper has no film in production at the moment. So Cats came out 2019. We're recording this in 2022. 3 years of silence from Tom. There has been a pandemic, though, so maybe he's writing. I don't know.
One of my favorite memes that came out during a pandemic was that there's a timeline, and then there's like an arrow points to when the date time came out, Cats came out, and then like every shit going wrong. Yeah. So
it's like there's a webcomic I saw that was like, did you ever think that you went to saw Cats in the cinema and then someone just poured concrete into the cinema and that's where you've been ever since? And I think about that all the time. Yeah, same thing. But I think, yeah, Tom Hooper, I mean, from what I've seen on, you know, some IMDb trivia bits about some of his films, he's apparently not very easy to work with. And I think that's always like fine if people are making... Well, not fine, obviously, no one wants that in the film industry, but behind the scenes, they sort of give people a pass. They give, you know, difficult directors a pass if the films make money or make, which is, you know, one of the worst things about Hollywood and has, you know, prolonged a lot of terrible people's careers. But if you make something that is like utterly terrible and you're also terrible to work with, I think that's it.
Yeah, I think the rumours I've heard working with Tom Hooper aren't the best as well. And I echo what you say. But then there's also the machine of Hollywood. And it's like, up until now, he's made films that won people Oscars. And The Damned United, if that's his best one, and didn't win people Oscars, it still had Stephen Graham and Michael Sheen in it and is dear to a lot of people's hearts. So I just, yeah, the fact that Polanski's still making films, the fact that Woody Allen's still making films.
Yeah.
That's why, as much as I'd prefer horrible people not to make films, I don't think this will be the end of him. just in honesty.
Whatever his next film is, though, it'll get to say from the director of Cats.
Yes. I don't know. It's an interesting one. If you were an actor and you got the call and you got sent... you'd be like, that guy made Cats. I could end up with a digital bumhole. Like, do I want to go in with this?
Or they'll be like, oh, it's from the director of Cats. Could happen.
That's true. I mean, maybe he'll do The Room too, or maybe he'll be resigned to doing those kind of like pivot from the prestige picture into, you know, these very knowing, self-aware movies, you know. Maybe he's having an epiphany right now whilst we're recording, which is why there's nothing on his upcoming slate, and he's rebranding himself as the fun guy.
Yeah,
it's all to play
he's
for.
He's
going to
pivot to like Disaster Movie 2.
Would like, watch, date yeah, movie yeah. 3. big, yeah, would big, watch, would watch. Films with big monsters in or something. Giant shark movies.
He could do musical movie.
Well, guys, I think it's time to head to the scores.
I'm Sam Clements, host of the 90 Minutes or Less Film Festival, another podcast in the Stripped Media family, a podcast that celebrates movies under 90 minutes long. Each episode, I'm joined by a special guest who selects a movie to join our prestigious lineup. Past guests have included fellow Stripped Media family members Martin and Sam from Song by Song, and Kobe from Flixwatcher, and Dave from The Wire Stripped. Search for us now on the app you're currently listening to this podcast, or join us at 90minfilmfest.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome to the Flix Watcher scores. All of our scores are out of 5. I really don't know how you're going to rate this. You may have decimal places if you wish, and we'll start with you, please, Josh, with your recommendability.
5. Like, I think everyone needs to see this film at least once. I think, you know, like, seeing is believing, and you will not believe. What is it? Was it the Superman tagline? Like, you won't believe a man can fly or something. Like, you won't believe a cat can be this fucking terrible. Like, you just won't. You just won't.
Sam?
Recommendability. I mean, I guess, is it a 5? It probably is a 5 to recommend it for that same reason. Like, you have to see Cats, because I had to watch Cats. Right. So everybody else needs to watch Cats.
That's why it's like The Ring.
I also think, whilst it's not, well, yeah, I think regardless, like, it goes down really well. I find this film very easy to watch, watched it multiple times. So if you, you know, great way to spend an hour and 50 minutes. An hour and 50 minutes.
Helen.
I mean, it's not the worst film I've seen by, like, a long way. Like, it's quite, it's pretty entertaining, and it's not that long either. Like, it is a little bit longer than probably it needs to be. Mm. It's just such a strange film that even if you've seen the trailer, I don't think that even prepares you for what's going ahead.
Did you think the trailer, because people came out with a clause in there for the trailer, and obviously that probably sank its chances of scoring big in the first week, but was it unfairly maligned based on the trailer?
What they did with this film is they shot it in secrecy, and they weren't releasing any footage of the cats until that first trailer dropped. So the film was in production for years. They kept the cats a secret, and I think it was not what people were expecting, or it looked kind of goofy. It sort of captured the imagination.
Recommendability, Helen.
I really don't know how to answer this. Go on, 5. Like, you have to see it. Like, I don't think we've even come close to explaining it. That
no,
you just have to see
that
it.
Is not,
if
that
someone
is not
said
our choice.
To me, what's on Netflix that's new, I'd say, have you seen Cats? And they would say, no, because it looks mental. Should I watch it? Yes.
I'm not going to go for 5 because I'm not an insaniac like the rest of you guys. But I'll be going higher than I anticipated before pressing play. Incidentally, Netflix gave this a match for me of 67%, which is not right. But I'm going to go for 4.5 because, like everyone else has said, there was no way on earth I was going to pay to see Cats. Mm. But now it's on Netflix. It's like, yeah, I'll press play on it and see what it looks like, because I've seen worse films and I will rewatch worse films. This isn't the worst film, but also it's not a great film by any imagination. But guys, it's stonkingly unique. So watch it and make your own choice. Repeat viewing score, Josh. You and Sam are going to be quite high in this, I believe.
Yeah, it's pretty high. I mean, similar to Sam, I think I've watched this on average like once every 6 months since it came out. I think I just love going back to it. And I remember last Christmas, the COVID-y Christmas, I was supposed to be going home and I had it all planned out. I was going to buy a copy of Cats on Blu-ray for my brother, for my mum, for my dad, so that we would have to watch it. And I wasn't able to go home, and that broke my heart. But this Christmas, I went home and forced him to watch it. And that was that was perfect. And then a month later, I'm watching it again. And I could still do it. I could still get involved. So it's pretty high. I'm not going to say it's a 5 because it was, as much as I could still get involved this viewing 3 weeks after the last one, it was trying. So I'd say, yeah, it's about a 4.2.
Sam?
A 4.2? Okay. I just want to give it 5. I've watched this film so many times. Like, it's become one of my most watched movies, and it only came out in 2019. Like, I'm going to keep watching this film far too many times. It's just a fun time with pals. Like, I've done Netflix parties when you sort of watch it with the chat on the side window. It's really good fun. And I think one of the victims of the film going sort of pandemic was the Prince Charles Cinema had to cancel their sing along screening of Cats because it was in April 2020. So, and I think until I get the sing along screening of Cats out of my system, whenever the Prince Charles decides to reschedule it, I'm going to keep rewatching it at home, just hoping, you know, for a bit more of that big screen fun that is had with Cats. But yeah, I could happily watch this film again now. Should we just go and watch Cats?
Not for me. Helen.
Tempted. I probably am going to watch this again, I think. Just think I probably will. Probably not. I kind of want to watch it with more people and see how they react. And I'm also kind of like intrigued by this sing-along that may happen in public sometime soon. So I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay. I'm going to go for, I can't think. I'll maybe watch it again, but not often. I'm going to go for a 1. Small screen score. Josh.
Yeah, this is where I feel it gets let down. I'd say it's about a 3 because, you know, I went to see it in the cinema. I'm eternally jealous, Sam, that I didn't get to see the press screening. That I remember that day so vividly when all of film Twitter journos came out and were just tweeting about, like, I've just seen the worst film you will ever see. And then it was like 2 days later they updated it so that, you know, the version I saw was the new one. And I've always wanted to see the old one. But, you know, on the big screen, you could spot every weird little thing going on in the background, like Mr. Mistopheles' sleeves disappearing into his skin, or like people's faces shifting around their head, etc. Mm. Whereas on the small screen, like, it's good, but you really have to pay attention to see those weird little things.
You have to pay attention for the weirdness.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Which you wouldn't have to do on a big screen. And also the sound isn't ever quite as good. So yeah, maybe about 2.5.
Sam?
Yeah, it's not. It is better on the big screen. And I love watching films at home. I watch most of my films at home, I suppose. But Cats is made for the cinema. It's made for a big audience. Mm. And I guess the communal watch, which is been hard to do in pandemic times. But it's a 3 for me for the small screen because I've watched it more at home than I did at the cinema now. Yeah. But and I'll keep watching it at home. There's no 4K Blu-ray of this. I know. I mean, I love my Netflix, but I do want to sort of get the premiere home end version of it. And there's only a Blu-ray, only a standard Blu-ray. I can't fully appreciate the digital fur technology without the 4K love. So yeah, I'll keep watching it at home again until the 4K is there. But yeah, I don't know. I think if you do have to watch this at home, try and watch it with a few people because it is more fun as a crowd watch.
Yeah. Helen.
Yeah, I'm with the same with you, Sam. I'm going to go for a 3. And I think if next time watching it again, I'd want to see it at least with people, ideally in kind of a cinema of like-minded cats.
So what was your score, sorry?
3, please.
3. I'm going to give it a 4. I think I can't imagine watching it in the big screen or paying for it at least. Maybe if I was at a festival and it was on to pass the time before, I don't know, Prodigy came on. That makes no sense. Engagement score. Josh.
It's declined on each repeat viewing. Like this attempt took me, I would say, 4 viewings of just getting about half an hour through, being like, okay, I can't. I've got other things to do. I need to, and then coming back to it. Whereas the first few times I just had to sit there and just watch it and let it wash over me. So yeah, I say a 3.
Oh, it's a 4. I don't know. I can't imagine doing anything else whilst watching Cats. Like, Cats is on. Or pausing it. Oh my God. I do think, like, because it is bad. It's a bad film. It's badly made in every single way, but I can't take my eyes off of it. The songs aren't very good either, but the staging is wild. And I just all about watching this. Like, I don't want to listen to the soundtrack, but I do want to watch Cats.
Helen.
It's kind of one of those films that you can't quite take your eyes off it because you just have no idea what's coming next. But at the same time, you could easily just stop it and that would be fine and never go back to it. So a 3.
Oh, my God, it's going to get quite a high score.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm going to go for a 3 because I was doing that thing where I kind of thought, well, I can just lie on the sofa and play games on my phone whilst watching Cats. And you can't really because you just miss all the nonsense. So you have to be in spite of yourself, almost like a Clockwork Orange, really. You need to have your eyes... open than someone administering some liquid there to keep stop your eyes from drying out against your own better judgment. So I'm getting, give it a 3, and that gives an overall score of 3.63750, which is way higher, honestly, than I thought it was going to be. And
I thought it might have been a contender with like B movie for the bottom, but obviously not.
Finally, some justice for Cats. One thing I forgot to mention actually on rewatchability is I always forget that Ray Winston is in this film.
Yes.
Every single time. And then he shows up.
I did not know he was in it.
Incredible.
He must have had half a day.
Oh, absolutely. He's just like, when he hisses, it's nightmarish. And that's the other thing. Sorry, I know we've basically stopped talking about it, but I want just one more. Ian McKellen. Is again doing unparalleled work in this. If we're talking about who is best embodying a cat, I don't think anyone asked him to lick that saucer of milk like when Mr. Mistopheles was coming in.
I was wondering that. I can't imagine Tom Hooper saying, you've played some of the most fantastic characters in cinematic history. Mm. Now imagine you're a cat. Here's a saucer. Just go lick it.
Go hog wild.
Just go.
Bit creepy, lick that scene.
Saucer. Lick that saucer, Sir Ian McKellen. But Ian McKellen's next to a saucer and just thinks, yeah, that's what cats do, and that's part of his acting training. So he's just gone and licked it. I can't imagine Tom Hooper directing him to lick that cat, that saucer.
No, you can't write those moments. You can't write those.
Okay, guys, do follow us on Twitter, everyone who's listening, because, of course, it's great too. And we put a shout out before recording, and you too can have your thoughts read out by one of the guests on the show. We put out tweets like this. We're reviewing Cats with Paps B and Sam_Kemitz from 90 Minutes Film Fest. Have you seen it? Tell us your thoughts and your score out of 5 stars for an on-air shout out on FlixWatcher. We had one official review and one person just copied their previous review of it and posted it in there. Josh, do you see that? Do you see any of these reviews?
From David Trumbull, a 1-star film that should have been a 5-star animation.
Quite a few people like that. I still don't know. I think the problem is the musical isn't that good. I don't know what could have made it good.
There's that. And yeah, I also agree with your earlier point about the dancing. Like, if it was full animation, the dancing would have had absolutely nothing, because at least at this point you can think the dancers are robbed, but at least someone's dancing. It would have just been mocap, surely, or something, like, even worse. Anyway.
Sam, do you want to take the last one?
Yes, so at Last Seen Film posted a very thoughtful write-up, I thought. Cats 2019, The Secret Life of Pets meets the Island of Dr. Moreau, and with a similar bizarre internal logic to the Cars franchise. 1 out of 10.
Guys, thank you very much for joining us. Can you just sign off quickly by telling us where we can find you online, and we'll say goodbye to the listeners.
I've been Josh, and you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd at PAPSBY, at PAPSBY, that's at Papsby. rhymes with Gatsby. And, yeah.
It sounds like you just made that up now. You just realised that now. Sam.
I've been Sam Clements. You can find me on Twitter at Sam_Clements, and you can listen to me talking about under 90 minute films at the 90 Min Film Fest. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, just type 90 Min Film Fest in. And sadly, Cats is over 90 minutes, so we will never talk about it on that show. And if you enjoy the work of Nancy Myers, especially her film The Holiday, do check out The Holiday Season.
Cheers, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure talking about Cats. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on. Bye.
Thanks for watching Cats for us.
Yeah.
Enjoyed this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast? Why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter, and we're at FlixWatcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the Mighty People for their mighty, mighty tunes, and Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Ben, and that's Rockwood, R-O-K-K Wood Audio. Tell him FlixWatcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.